How many of you here today remember the fourth commandment? In fact, let's take a test. Why don't we say it all out loud together? Ready? Fourth commandment. Honor your father and your mother. Now, if you recall your confirmation instruction, you will know that the fourth commandment not only teaches that we should honor our parents, but we should also honor all other authorities that God has placed over us. You see, Scripture teaches that God places various authorities over us to care for us, to protect us, and to discipline us if we do evil. Now, the closest authorities God places over us are our parents, whom God used to give us life itself. Now, of course, eventually we outgrow the authority of our parents once we become adults. But even as adults, we still show respect for our parents and we help them in their old age. However, as adults, we must still continue to submit to other authorities that God has placed over us, such as employers, law enforcement, government. For example, God uses government to keep order in the world and to punish those who do evil. Therefore, as Christians, we are to obey the good laws of our government. As we heard from Peter in our second reading, when he said, "Submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every authority instituted among men, whether to the king as the supreme authority, or to governors who are sent by him to punish those who do wrong and to commend those who do right." Of course, sometimes governing authorities themselves do not do their job and even establish evil laws. In such cases, we Christians must obey God rather than evil government. For example, if our government, like China, were to establish a one child per family policy and then require parents to abort other children that they might conceive, well then we as Christians would need to obey God and disobey such an evil law. When governments refuse to do their job, when they insist on doing evil, they simply will not endure. We see this throughout history. God will eventually bring them to judgment. Now, having said all that, God still expects us to obey the good laws of our government and to pay taxes even if we don't agree with everything our government is doing. For example, listen to what Paul says to Christians who lived under the Roman Empire in his day. In Romans chapter 13, Paul says, "Everyone must submit himself to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God. This is also why you pay taxes. For the authorities are God's servants who give their full time to governing. Give everyone what you owe him. If you owe taxes, pay taxes. If revenue, then revenue. If respect, then respect. If honor, then honor." Now, with all that understood, we're ready to examine today's gospel reading, which again shows how the Jewish leaders are still trying to trap Jesus and to get him to say something that will get him into trouble. You see, the Jewish leaders have been trying to turn the Jewish people against Jesus ever since Jesus entered Jerusalem just a few days before on a Sunday. However, they have not yet been successful in trapping Jesus. Therefore, in today's gospel reading, we see that they are now trying to get Jesus into trouble with the Roman authorities in Jerusalem. As Luke writes, "Keeping a close watch on Jesus, they sent spies who pretended to be honest. They hoped to catch Jesus in something he said so that they might hand him over to the power and authority of the governor." And of course, the local Roman governor was Pontius Pilate. However, if they can't get Jesus into trouble with the Romans, well then, they still need to try to find a way to get most of the Jewish people to turn against Jesus. So, they come up with a question for Jesus that will force him to answer in such a way that he will either get in trouble with the Romans or turn most of the Jewish people against him. So what crafty question do they ask? Well, listen again to what Luke writes. So the spies question Jesus, "Teacher, we know that you speak and teach what is right and that you do not show partiality, but teach the way of God in accordance with the truth. Is it right for us to pay taxes to Caesar or not?" Now they sound so flattering. They say so many nice things about Jesus, but they don't mean a word of it. In fact, do you see what they're trying to do? They are trying to put Jesus into a no-win situation. You see, if Jesus says, "Oh no, we Jews should not pay taxes to the evil Roman government," well, the moment he says that, they will report Jesus to the Romans, and the Romans will arrest him and probably kill him. On the other hand, if Jesus says, "Oh yes, we must pay taxes to Rome because Caesar is our king," well then, the people would turn against Jesus because just a few days before, they were calling Jesus the king of the Jews. So, how does Jesus answer the question? Well, listen to what Luke writes. Jesus saw through their duplicity and said to them, "Show me a denarius. Whose portrait and inscription are on it?" "Caesar's," they replied. Jesus said to them, "Then give to Caesar what is Caesar's and to God what is God's." They were unable to trap him in what he said there in public, and astonished by his answer, they became silent. Now, did you catch what Jesus did? His opponents asked an either-or question, but Jesus responds with a both-and answer. Jesus' opponents had forgotten that God gave us both the first commandment and the fourth commandment. We are to worship God only, the first commandment. And yet, God also wants us to honor and respect the authorities He has placed over us. The fourth commandment. As we heard in our reading from 1 Peter, "Show proper respect to everyone, love the brotherhood of believers, fear God, honor the King." So, we should honor the earthly authorities God has placed over us, and that includes paying taxes to our government. But we worship only God, because God is the one who established government. God is the one who created everything. And God alone is our Savior. In fact, if the Jewish leaders had properly understood the Ten Commandments, not only would they have honored the Romans, but they would have worshipped Jesus, because Jesus is God in human flesh. The title for today's sermon is "The King of Kings." You see, there are earthly kings or presidents that have been established by God, and we are to honor them. But then there is the King of Kings, God Himself, and we are to worship only Him because He has given us life, and even more than that, He has given His own life to save us. In our first reading, we heard about the Magi. The Magi were Gentile scholars who came from the East to worship the King of the Jews, who is also the King of Kings. And did you notice that Matthew said they worshipped Jesus? This shows that they believed that Jesus was God in human flesh. Now, our first reading from Matthew also mentions an earthly king named Herod, but Herod was an evil king. Not only did he refuse to worship Jesus as his God and Savior, but Herod actually attempted to murder Jesus. And he ended up killing many other babies in the process. So here we see that even though God has established government to encourage good behavior and to punish evil behavior, sometimes governments and kings and presidents become evil themselves and do wicked things. And as I said earlier, such governments and kings and presidents will not endure. Of course, that's true for any person, isn't it? If you refuse to repent of your sin, if you refuse to worship the King of Kings and trust in Him as your Savior, then you will not endure either. If you reject the King of Kings, you will face His judgment on the final day and you will be separated from His kingdom of love for all eternity. Now, of course, the King of Kings doesn't want that fate for any sinner. The baby worshipped by the Magi, that baby would grow up to save his enemies. How? By willingly suffering and dying in their place of damnation. So, along with the Magi, God calls us to humble ourselves and worship the King of Kings who has given his life to save us. Now, of course, the King of Kings rose in victory over death, and he will come again one day in power and glory. But until the King of Kings returns in power and glory, we who worship the King of Kings, we continue to live in this world run by various governments and their leaders. And we are to give honor to the authorities that God has placed over us. We are to obey the good laws of our land. But we must always remember that we worship only one king. We worship the King of Kings who was worshipped by the Magi. We worship the King of Kings who suffered and died in our place of damnation that we might live in his kingdom for all eternity. Just think of it, my friends. Because of the King of Kings, you are forgiven. Because of the King of Kings, you have the certain hope of eternal life. And this hope is certain, even as you live in this world where evil governments might persecute you, because you worship the King of Kings. Earthly kings who are evil might be able to take your life from you, but because you worship the King of Kings, no earthly king can really harm you. Because the King of Kings is the one who gave you life, and he will give it to you again on the final day when he resurrects you from the grave. The King of Kings who created everything and reigns is the one who loved you so much that he gave his life on the cross for you, and he will never leave you or forsake you. So even if we are persecuted by evil governments, as the early Christians experienced, we have nothing to fear, because we are in the hands of the King of Kings. My friends, the governments of this world will one day pass away and come to an end. But the government of the King of Kings will reign forever. And you who trust in the King of Kings, you are citizens of his eternal kingdom. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all our understanding, guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen.